Less than a week for the super committee to shave more than $1 trillion off the federal deficit.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Still no deal among the bipartisan super committee members that are charged with finding big cuts in the federal budget. Republicans refuse to look at any deal that doesn't make significant changes to Medicare and Medicaid. The Democrats are holding out for more tax revenue. Marketplace's Amy Scott is with us live now with the latest on that story. Hey, Amy.
Good morning.
So walk us through what actually happens a week from today if the committee cannot come, or I should say Wednesday, right? If they can't come up with something by Wednesday.
Well, everyone goes home and eats turkey.
Yeah.
And I'm only partly kidding. There are really two big deadlines here. The committee has to come up with a deal by November 23rd. Congress is supposed to approve the deal by December 23rd, right before Christmas. I talked to Chuck Gabriel at Capital Alpha Partners, and he says Congress will probably find a way to buy more time before this first deadline.
That would mean we'd, you know, have our Thanksgiving dinner with a great deal of uncertainty remaining. Yet we'd probably wrap things up in time to enjoy a pretty good Christmas.
I can't help, Amy, but remember that the S&P downgraded the debt last time we couldn't come up with a debt deal. Should we be worried about this?
Yeah, well, Gabriel says the ratings agencies have signaled they're unlikely to downgrade the U.S. credit rating further. That's because if they can't strike a deal, automatic cuts will kick in starting in 2013, split between defense and non-defense spending, which would get the deficit more manageable.
All right. Marketplace's Amy Scott reporting for us this morning. Amy, thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed right now. The NASDAQ and S&P each down by an average of about 0.25%. The Dow is up, however, about 0.2%, 24 points at 11,929. Hundreds of Occupy Wall Street protesters are gathered right now in front of the New York Stock Exchange, marking 2 months as a movement. Some arrests have been reported today. Fewer Americans sought new unemployment benefits last week. That's according to the Labor Department, which says first-time claims dropped by 5,000 to a seven-month low. Angie's List is trading today on the NASDAQ exchange for the first time at about $13 a share. The consumer review website lost $40 million last year. So then how does that company sell itself to potential shareholders? From Silicon Valley, here's Marketplace's Steve Henn.
Angie's List has been around the block. It's older than Google. It began before the first internet bubble inflated way back in 1995. It's even shown up on game shows.
Jeopardy.
There's Craigslist and Her List, named for Ms. Hicks, who was frustrated when trying to find a good contractor. Tom.
What is Angie's List?
Yes.
At first blush, its business model seems kind of brilliant. Angie's List bundles up and sells consumer reviews. It doesn't pay the reviewers a dime, but today more than 1 million people subscribe to Angie's List for $30 to $60 a year. The company makes even more money by allowing well-reviewed businesses to advertise. So how is it that Angie's List is still in a hole?
They're spending a lot in marketing.
Nick Einhorn is with Renaissance Capital. He says the company spends around $80 on marketing to sign up a single new subscriber. Einhorn says the question for investors is whether all that spending will ever pay off. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. And by Thomson Reuters and their expedition to break the Overland speed record to the South Pole. You can follow them in real time at expeditiontothesouthpole.com.
In war-torn Somalia, new reports are that 9,000 refugees move into neighboring Kenya a month. And in refugee camps there, there's a new economy emerging where Somalis get food and medicine and money from relatives through their cell phones. From the Dadaab refugee camp in Kenya, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Just past the kids, the goats, and the camels at this refugee camp, there's a shack that says Safaricom, cell phone store. A refugee steps to the counter, fiddles with a cheap Nokia, walks out with $16.
This man withdrew 1,500 shillings.
The store manager explains, this refugee just got money from a relative via cell phone, and just now he cashed out. All you need is a text message and a PIN number. Out of every 10 people here, 5 live on a dollar a day. 3 have electricity. 7 do mobile money.
The potential for mobile phones is absolutely fantastic.
That's John Hadanut at the International Food Policy Research Institute.
You can transfer money almost instantaneously, which cuts out a lot of the transactions costs. It's literally mobile money. They can take it and redeem it in lots of places.
Kenya's system is called M-Pesa, which is so common, it's a verb. As in, did you just M-Pesa while driving? Yes, my cabbie Peter just texted in a church tithe.
I'm almost like 500 kilometers from my home church, and the fundraiser is going to start at 11. I had to send a donation.
And in a minute, he gets a text.
It has confirmed that I've sent...
I tell you what, you drive.
Turns out you can M-Pesa at the grocery store, pay utility bills, etc. So I join in.
How much?
1,200.
That's the starting price.
In Nairobi, I shop for a soccer jersey for my kid. And then out comes the phone.
Can I pay you M-Pesa?
Yeah, it's okay. No problem.
Okay. Now what? Enter the amount.
I text the seller $12 for the jersey, plus another 26 cents for the transaction. 20 seconds later, text message.
Yeah, I'm going to give you the text message.
Confirmed. Oh, cool. So you're Mr.
He gets his money, I get my shirt. It's that easy for farmers, herders, refugees all across Kenya. At the intersection of IT and development, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And finally, Neiman Marcus has been dazzling wishlisters for more than 100 years with its Christmas catalog. But this year, you're going to have to pay to see that book of dreams. The luxury retailer is charging $15 to get a copy of it. Refundable, of course, if you buy something from inside that book, like, say, a speedboat handcrafted right here in the U.S., complete with gold accoutrements that goes for $250,000. But hurry, there are only 10 available. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Here's an economic indicator. Skyscrapers as symbols of financial health.
The biggest skyscrapers originally were built by corporations to show how wealthy and how powerful they were. But certainly in terms of China, there is that sense that we are going to build the tallest building because they want to show they can.
I'm Kai Rizdal, high and mighty, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.